All right, persecutions. We're talking about persecution. This is a topic that's very, very prevalent in the Word of God. In fact, let me see something here. It appears, let's see, the words persecute, persecuted, persecuting, persecution, and persecutions, plural, appear, let's see, looks like 61 times in Holy Scripture. 61 times, okay, to pursue, it means to pursue, to persecute, to inflame, to set on fire, etc. I think it's pretty obvious what persecution and persecutions and to persecute really mean to believers. But let me see, the Greek word for persecution is diako, and it means to put to flight, to drive away, to pursue, to persecute, obviously. Okay, and there are many, again, 61 times that all the different forms of the word persecute appear in the Bible. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Because you are identified with, you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and you're identified with Him. And if you know what I mean, we're not even privileged to be worthy to suffer shame for His name, like the apostles in the 4th chapter of the book of Acts spoke. They rejoiced that they were worthy to even be identified with Christ, to suffer persecution. You see, there is a devil. And he worketh in all the children of disobedience, all that are not saved yet. Some of them don't want to be saved, never will be saved. Some of them will be saved in the future. Whosoever will, amen. Anyway, Satan uses them to persecute the righteous. Okay? And that's because you're identified with Satan's enemy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's a perspective that may God bless us to have a deep revelation and understanding of, so that when we realize that we're being persecuted, we can throw our hands up and rejoice like the Bible says to do in several different places. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, beginning in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake."
Falsely.
"Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And then over in verse 43 of chapter 5, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you," your enemies will curse you, "do good to them that hate you," your enemies do hate you, "and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And the key verse is this next verse. "When they persecute you, when they despitefully use you, when they hate you, when they curse you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect."
Amen. That's Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Praise God, brother. And that was chapter 5, also verse 10 through 12.
Yes.
Where Jesus says that we're to rejoice when we're persecuted and falsely accused. You know, throughout Scripture we see in the life of Jesus, even before he was, when he was put on trial and stuff, many false witnesses that the Scripture says rose up against Jesus. And Stephen in the book of Acts, many false witnesses rose up against Stephen. You know, I got a brother in the Lord. He's a pastor. He's a true man of God that really
really, really teaches the Word of God, the pure Word, and also exposes a lot of the enemy's work in the religious realm. And he was telling me a while back that somebody actually put up a website, these so-called ministers, exposing him because, you know, he disagreed with them. It's just amazing. But, you know, this brother, you know, God is going to greatly reward him and reward all of his children for the suffering that goes on, the persecution, by identifying with our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I love 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And one of the reasons why there's going to be a fiery trial, as it says here in 1 Peter 4:12, is because in the previous verse, we see that it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." Man, if you're going to speak the truth, and every true believer is called and ordained to teach others what Jesus, everything Jesus taught us, the end of Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, "Go and teach all nations everything I've taught you." So in doing that, we speak the oracles or the written word of God. Again, verse 11 of 1 Peter 4, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." And when you do that, what's going to happen? Verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange." Don't be surprised. "Concerning the fiery trial," not just the trial, but the fiery trial, which is to try you, "as though some strange thing happened unto you." We are not to be surprised. Listen, Satan comes to take away the word, and we're persecuted for the word's sake. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. You're going to get persecuted if you're putting out the word of God, which never comes back void. And it, quite frankly, is a violent, offensive weapon against the enemy. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, "And the Word of God is quick," it's alive, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And, you know, when the Word of God goes into some people's hearts, the enemy that still has them under his control is going to lash out at times. "But think it not strange concerning this fiery trial," which is to try you, "as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's part and parcel for the Christian life to be persecuted. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 4 says, "But rejoice, rejoice, rejoice." When you're being slandered, falsely accused, persecuted in some way or the other, shunned, you know, not wanted to be around. See, when those people, when people love darkness rather than light, they don't want the light around them. And if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Ghost in you. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he said he is the light of the world. And so he also said to let your light so shine before men. You know, if certain men and people aren't going to receive the Bible, hey, go to somebody else. Don't pout about them. I was thinking about that today. Just move on. There's so many people.
Shake the dust off your feet.
That's good. Yeah, just move on, man. There's so many people. Just keep letting your light shine. Pray for those people that aren't yet receiving the word, but go and keep shining the light. I tell you, I'm amazed at how many people here in America that I talk to personally that are hungry. They just, you know, when I give them a track and I talk to them and I minister to them, and it's amazing. I'm fine. They just want to hear more. In fact, I told a waitress not long ago about the Lord, and then I gave her a track. It was a beautiful, beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit. And she just looked at me and said, "Man, we need more people coming in this restaurant and talking about this gospel." This girl was not saved, but God was moving in her life and touching her life. Verse 13, 1 Peter 4, "But rejoice when you're persecuted for the word's sake," amen, "inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." This identifies you with Christ. It's a token of the truth and the reality that you're his, amen. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. Jesus suffered greatly, amazingly, much. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be also glad also with exceeding joy. The Bible tells us if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. Amen? In Romans 8, about verse 17 and 18, is one of those places. Let me read that. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, the scripture says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. You notice how you can never separate a Christian from suffering with Christ. Every Christian suffers with Christ. If you're not suffering with Christ, you don't know him. You notice that theme we see in these scriptures? First of all, we quoted earlier 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, not some but all, shall suffer persecution. Now, right here in Romans 8:17, it says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, if we suffer with him. Then verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this is all temporal, this is all going to be forgotten completely. Okay, whatever you're suffering now, beloved, is soon going to be vanished, like a vapor of smoke that appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. And your persecutors are going to be ultimately vanquished into the bowels of eternal hell, to be cast into the lake of fire. And you're going to be in the new Jerusalem, beloved, those that endure to the end, trusting in Jesus Christ and walking in the grace of God by faith. They're going to be in the new Jerusalem. There's going to be what? No more pain, no more tears, no more persecution, no more tribulation, nothing negative ever. Hallelujah. Revelation 21 and 22, take a look at the glorious home with God that we are going to have with him. Revelation 21 and 22. And that's one of the things tribulation does, is it makes you ready to go home, which is the posture that Jesus wants us to have. Because the Bible says, if any man love this world and the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. And sometimes in America, that's pretty easy to do if you're not walking a crucified life. Amen? Because there's so many good things around here. You know, there's so many temptations to love the world. Okay, so Romans 8, 17 and 18 again. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings, plural, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's no comparison to what lies ahead. Nothing. Verse 35 of the same chapter, Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? No, none of it is going to separate us from verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, who is this he's talking about? Well, he's talking about the people that are suffering with Christ because they truly know him. Verse 16 and 17. The ones in whose spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness that they're children of God and that are going to be heirs with Christ if they suffer. Not just because they said a prayer and got saved initially, but no, those that are enduring to the end. That's who this promises to, that the love of Christ, they'll never be separated from the love of Christ. Amen? You got to read the whole context, and if you do, you can't be a Calvinist, because the doctrines of Reformed theology are completely heretical. They're not doctrines of Scripture at all. They take a few scriptures out of context, out of the context in which it's placed, and that's a good example right there. So in finishing 1 Peter 4, verse 13, first of all, we're to preach the word in the oracles of God, verse 11. Verse 12, we're not to think it strange or be surprised about fiery trials of persecution. Verse 13, we're to rejoice when we're persecuted for Christ's sake. That means we're His. Hallelujah. You're not going to be persecuted for Christ unless you truly know Him. Amen. So, and then His glory in these sufferings and for eternity is going to be revealed. Amen. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You want to be happy? You want to be happy? Well, here's how you get happy. And this is when we should be happy, is when we're reproached for the name of Jesus. That means we're His. Hallelujah. What a blessing. That's what the scriptures reveal. That it's a token, it's a guarantee that you are a child of God, that you're being persecuted by those who are in darkness because you're walking in the light of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the light of the world. The only Redeemer, the only Savior, Jesus Christ.
Paul gives a testimony to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, beginning verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews.
Amen.
And going back to what Todd's speaking in 1 Peter 4, to rejoice,
yes,
as being partakers of the sufferings, or being reproached, or being put to shame for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
Amen. That's 1 Peter 4:11 through 14. That's a glorious passage. Now, we had begun in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and Anson read verse, we can pick it back up in verse 17 and 18, read through those real quick, and then and go on from there. It says in verse 17, but beware of men, for they will persecute you, will deliver you, I'm sorry, up to the councils. We talked about how that's the legal realm, in the secular realm. And they will scourge you in their synagogues. That's the religious realm. Satan has his people that are in darkness in all realms of life. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And through these trials and persecution, God is perfecting that which concerns us. He uses those times to make us draw closer to him, to cause us to look up and to be still and know that he is God, to seek his holy face. God is interested in, mostly, in you. Okay, those trials, he's working all those things together for the good to those that love him and are the called according to his purpose and conforming them to the image of Christ. That's what we've been predestined to be, conformed to the image of Christ. That's Romans 8, 20, 28 and 29. Okay, verse 18 of Matthew 10, and by the way, Matthew 10 here is speaking a lot about the discipleship and suffering and the rules of engagement as a disciple of Jesus. Verse 18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Why? For Christ's sake. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. The Holy Spirit is going to give us the words. And so we stay in the Word, and the Holy Spirit quickens the Word of God that God chooses to speak through us. And what's it say in verse 20?
For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Keep going, yeah.
And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents
and caused them to be put to death.
Wow, familial persecution. Persecution right there coming from your own family members. And I've experienced that. I know a lot of people have. Just like the first religious murder, which was where a brother, familial persecution, if you will, Cain persecuted his brother Abel even unto death. And that's what we see here, that Jesus said is going to happen and is happening all over the world, where family members are turning in and persecuting their own brothers, sisters, parents, etc., or children. Now, let me read a little bit about what 1 John 3 says about walking in love or walking in hate. And also Cain and Abel. I bet you didn't know that, some of you didn't know that Cain and Abel are talked about in 1 John 3. I'm going to begin in verse 9. 1 John 3, 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, or brought to light, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is, so two things that prove we're children of God, we're obedient and we love our brothers, we love others. Verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That phrase appears like 12 or 13 times in the New Testament, love one another. The first fruit of the Spirit, or the first dimension, is what? Love. Amen. Galatians 5, 23 and 22 and 23. All right, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was religious, wasn't he? He offered a sacrifice, but he did it his way, not God's way. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was of the devil, just like the Pharisees, just like all people that love their religion and not Jesus. Okay, and slew his brother. There it is. Delivered up his brother unto death. Killed him himself. Slew his brother. And wherefore, or why slew he him? Here's the answer. Because his own works were evil. You see, the reason why you're being persecuted is because your persecutors, their works and their hearts are evil. They're dark. They don't have the light of Christ. And his brother's righteous. Let me read it again, verse 12. A lot of revelation and things that we could look into in this verse. It's very telling, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That sounds like John 16, 1 and 2, where they're going to oust you from their synagogues and even kill you as a Christian and think that they do God service. Verse 13, 1 John 3. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised. That's what we just read in 1 Peter 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials of persecution that are going to come to you. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth or remaineth in death. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't have God's love manifesting in your daily life toward your fellow man. I know we've all missed it in that area, but the overall fruit of our life, we must repent when we miss it. And the overall fruit of our life better be that of love. If we don't have anything else, we better have truth and we better have love. And repent all the way to the end. Amen. We are commanded to love the brethren, and that love is defined by giving of ourselves. It's the earmark proof that we know the Lord, who is love. Amen. The love of the brethren and love of our neighbor is spoken of all the way throughout Scripture. Listen to verse 15. Whosoever hateth or doesn't love his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We're just like Cain, which is right here in this text. When we don't love our brothers, we have the same murderous heart. Then he goes on to say, hereby perceive we the love of God Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When somebody's serving God, their life has good deeds and truth, walking in love. Amen. Okay, we're in Matthew 20, and we're going to pick back up in, we'll read verse 21.
And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Ah, Jesus promises that we're going to be hated of all men for his name's sake. That's when we can rejoice, that when we're hated for his name's sake, because that's the manifest proof, one of the proofs that we definitely are of him. Amen. The only salvation. Praise the Lord.